Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And just generally sweating, which is what I'm doing currently and also what I did all day. Welcome back to Royals Weekly. I am your host, Marcus Mead, and joining me as always, the last king of Scottsdale, my brother Mike.
So audience, what you must know for this is that Mark explained to me that he was going to do this joke before we did it today, which he never does. I always get these like fresh off the thing. And I had no clue what he was talking about either. So don't feel bad. I have no clue what he means by this. I don't know. He then went on to explain it to me. And I thought the first thought I had in my mind, he went on to tell me he's been trying to tell this joke for a year. For a year, he's been holding on to that joke. First thought in my mind, man, if I wait for a joke for a year, it better be better than that one. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, ooh, that's not good. But okay, yeah, I'm the king of Scottsdale, Arizona.
Honestly, I know that it's not good, but I have to tell it so it just gets out of there. Okay, I can't keep thinking about this joke, which I know isn't funny. I can't do it. Like, and so that's what you're getting this week, Weekly Weirdos, because that's what's in my brain. Okay, we are near Scottsdale, Arizona. Last King of Scottsdale is a take on the film The Last King of Scotland with Forrest Whitaker and James McAvoy. It was a big hit a while back. In fact, I think Forrest Whitaker won an Academy Award for it. And so, you know, no big deal.
And but nobody remembers the Oscars, it.
And so, yeah, that is the Oscars tonight. This is my ode to – I'm going to pretend that I thought about this ahead of time, and this is my ode to the Oscars tonight, exactly. Which is not at all what happened because I forgot it was tonight. This week's episode is a very special as it kicks off our week of spring training coverage down here in Phoenix, lovely Phoenix, Arizona, or thereabouts anyway. We'll be down here all week watching games, skulking around the backfields. Mike's a real good skulker, and just generally skulking. Sweating, which is what I'm doing currently and also what I did all day. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of that, but you're definitely going to get the top-notch content, all the insights that come from two dudes who are sweating a lot. To make sure you're seeing all of that great content and hearing all that great content, go over to royalsweekly.substack.com and jump on as a paid subscriber with us. We're putting out, Mike's going to put out daily posts updating what we saw at camp and our observations from training camp. We're putting out a tons of episodes. We'll put out our weekly episode just for paid subscribers of our Substack on Thursday morning. But if you're not ready to jump, take the plunge with us over on Substack, we will be putting out an episode basically every day, except for that Thursday morning one. Just a quick 20-minute thing every day from Surprise, so that you're from Arizona. We're not in Surprise, but from somewhere here in Arizona that you can hear wherever you get podcasts. So make sure you're following along. I want to do one thing, and that's thank all of our wonderful sponsors who help make trips like this possible for us. And that will begin by me saying Royals Weekly is brought to you by All In Physical Therapy. For one-on-one personalized physical therapy, we choose All In Physical Therapy. They took excellent care of our mother after surgery left her with pain and limited mobility in her arm. She loves to work out, be active.
Triathlons aren't really enough for mom. So she invented octathlons just to test herself, just to take it to the limit.
The excellent specialized care she got at All In Physical Therapy had her back to being active in no time.
That's 8 events, including gator roping and gazelle tackling. Mother wins the gold every year.
Yeah. She had to get creative with it. All In Physical Therapy knows how to help athletes recover. It's owned and operated by Lee Summitone Tommy Freevert. A former Arena League football player, Northwest Missouri State Bearcat, and a hell of a guy. They have offices in both Blue Springs and Lee Summit, so get over there to work with Tommy. Tell your doctor you want to do your physical therapy with the best of the best at All In Physical Therapy. To learn more, give them a call at 816-427-5300. That's 816-427-5300. Or visit their website at allin-pt.com. That's allin-pt.com. As you all know, we start our review of last week with roster news, but there was virtually no roster news from the Royals last week, which is, again, another good sign. We said this last week. It's a good sign when they don't have a ton of roster news in spring training, because that means a bunch of guys aren't getting hurt. And that's what we ultimately want from spring training. No injuries. The Royals have sent a bunch of minor league guys down to minor league camp, but that's a thing that happens every year as the rosters start to pare down, getting closer to the end of spring training. So a bunch of guys who you would expect to be sent down to minor league camp have been sent down to minor league camp, but that's really no big deal. We did get a little bit, we did dodge a little bit of a bullet. Dairon Blanco left a game, I think yesterday. Yes, yesterday, with a what turned out to be a foot cramp. All they said was lower body injury initially, but it just turned out to be a foot cramp, so he should be fine. We also are getting pretty good news on Jordan Lyles and his recovery from the back tightness that he had. He threw a bullpen on Saturday that went well. So he's going to progress to throwing to live hitters on Monday, March 11th, hoping to get Lyles back in time to ramp him up for the start of the season. On the field last week, the Royals went 3-2, which brings their overall record to 11-5, which is second in the Cactus League behind the Dodgers. It was a little bit of an odd week because they got an off day to start the week, and then they had a rainout during the week, which often obviously very rarely happens in Arizona. You don't see a rainout very often. But they did manage to go 3-2. And so, Mike, how do you feel about how the team looked last week in spring training?
I feel pretty good. It's pretty promising to me. The offense was able to get going in a way that we had kind of been asking for it to. Now, the pitching probably, especially the starting pitching, probably took a step back this week. We saw some guys like Singer today. Waka struggled a little bit in his start. We saw, you know, the other guys were really good. Cole Reagans, we happened to lose him for the rainout, so we didn't get to see him this week, but or this past week. But, yeah, I feel pretty much good. We're entering a time, like you mentioned today, where sometimes starters' arms are tiring and offenses are now catching up. And so that's kind of exactly what we're seeing here. But overall, I'm very happy with where they are right now and how they did this week.
Yeah, I don't think there's that much to really get too unhappy about from last week. I mean, we're starting to see some guys start to really hit, especially guys who the Royals are counting on to be in the center of their lineup. We're going to talk about some of those guys in a minute, but, you know, Salvador Perez is hitting. Vinny Pasquantino had a couple of good hits this week. In fact, a game where I think he had three hits. MJ Melendez continues to hit. Velasquez got on the board with a three-hit game and started looking a little bit better. And so, yeah, the offense is starting to take off, at least while the starting pitching is maybe taking a slight step back. But at least the offense looks like they're getting their timing down. They're getting going offensively, which I think is just a perfect transition to talking about Mike's strong performer for the week. Mike, who did you have as a strong performer for last week in Royals spring training action?
There hasn't been anybody offensively who has been as hot as Nick Prado on this team. Nick Prado is killing it. We saw it today. He went 3-for-4 today at the game we were at. He had an opposite field home run, probably kind of an Arizona home run, but hit the ball hard. I mean, and then he had hit a single that probably should have been a double if not for a really hard, really great play by the right fielder to get the ball in. And then he walked once. So
yeah, he didn't go 3-for-4. He went 2-for-3 with a walk.
Oh, with a walk. Yeah, sorry. I forgot the walk in there. Sorry. But he just looked great today. He really did. Even the strikeout that he had, it was on a really borderline pitch that he took. And so, yeah, I've been very impressed with what we saw from him. He had a triple, a home run, 4 RBIs this week, 2 strikeouts to 1 walk. And there's real progression, it looks like, for Nick Prado.
It does. And it's really about what the plate appearances look like for Nick Prado. There's more aggressiveness. And you can see it. Yeah, he did take a third strike today in an 0-2 count. I think it was 0-2, which you don't love to see. But there are other moments earlier in at bats when he's being aggressive with pitches in the strike zone. Like if he gets down 0-1 and somebody throws him something in the strike zone, he's swinging because he knows if he gets to 0-2, the odds in that plate appearances get even worse. And if that's a pitch he can hit, he needs to try and hit it. And so we saw that some today from him, and that was really good to see. The only hitter who might really be matching him, and I think he probably is Michael Massey, who over last week went 4-for-7 with 2 home runs, 1 double, 0 walks, and 0 strikeouts. The 0 walks is something we'd be like, eh, I'd like to see Massey walk a little bit, but the 0 strikeouts is fantastic. He's putting the ball in play. He's pulling the ball hard a lot, which is really his MO, and the thing that sets him apart as a hitter is he has the capacity to really pull the ball and have power from second base. And so 2 home runs this week showed, and a double, 3 extra base hits, showed that Massey could be an offensive force. If he can limit the strikeouts, I think then he's got a chance. And that's all about approach, and that's all about getting yourself in good counts. but he definitely has the hit tool to do it. He definitely has the power to do it. Hopefully he keeps this rolling. I think he's really putting to bed any conversation that he might not be the second baseman going into opening day.
Yeah, completely agree. Today was kind of the both sides of Michael Massey. He the first hit he got, I think he swung at the very first pitch in a line drive to right center. Like, it was a good swing. It was smart. It was a good thing. But we've always been saying we need him to swing less. We need him to see more pitches, things like that. Well, I can't remember if it was a second at bat or third at bat, but he really worked a count today and got a hit from that as well. So it was like, hey, that's the Michael Massey you want to see really having a solid approach and knowing what he's doing. And if he does that, you know, it's just spring training. So is it just another hot Michael Massey streak? I can't answer that right now, but I'm optimistic about some of the approach changes we've seen.
And the fastball the first pitch fastball he swung at and hit for a line drive, it made sense to swing at that first pitch because Massey was hitting sixth today. And the first five guys who went up there, Paul Blackburn was trying to get pitches just across the plate for a strike every first pitch. So he was throwing a lot of get me over curveballs, yeah, or breaking balls, a lot of fastballs, you know, that were very hittable on pitch one. Some guys were taking them, some guys were swinging, but Massey recognized there's a good chance he's just going to throw me a very hittable pitch on pitch one. I'm going to rope it into right field. Like, and that's what he did. Like, and so Blackburn in his next at bat wasn't so keen on throwing a pitch down the heart of the plate on 0-0, you know, like, and so that's what we saw from a lot of guys today swinging early in counts.
It looked like they were, especially for Blackburn, they were really looking for that fastball, period. And so that was kind of a cool thing to see. And they punished it early in the game. They really did.
Not everybody had a fantastic week last week, especially in that starting rotation. Mike, tell us about a starter who struggled, who was on the struggle bus a little bit last week.
Yeah, it wasn't Michael Wacha's best outing when he went the other day. But you look at the number 2 2/3 innings pitched in that start, you probably wanted him going a full three. He gave up 3 earned runs, 2 walks and 3 Ks. So this is like kind of the weird thing in a spring training thing, or when a guy only pitches once in a week for the layout of our show, is that if you actually listen to that game, you'll realize it was those 2 walks that cost him pretty much everything. He walked, I think, back-to-back guys in that game, and then they ended up coming around to score. So, I don't know that it's anything to worry about. I'm still not worried about anything like that. I think he still had 3 strikeouts in those 2 2/3 innings. So Michael Wacha is still going to be fine. Not worried at all. Singer, you're a guy I'm a little bit more worried. Sorry to give it away.
Spoiler alert. Yes, I'm talking about another starter, Brady Singer. And I want to be clear, because Brady Singer was actually good in his first outing this week. He had 2 outings this week. He was good in his first outing. He was really, really bad today. And the weird thing was, you and I were there. We watched the whole outing. We were pretty intensely focused on how good Singer was or wasn't. And the first inning was okay, Singer. His fastball was sitting in about 92, 93. He looked okay. His two-seamer anyway. I think maybe gave up a walk to start the game. Maybe let some guys on base in that first inning, but ultimately got out of it. The second inning, things started to fall apart. His velocity was down to 91, 92 on that two-seamer. He could not throw a slider for a strike. And so everybody on the A's lineup is taking every slider he's throwing and just roping every two-seamer he throws into the outfield as a line drive. They were hitting line drives off that two-seamer all day. He could not throw really anything else for a strike. He tried a couple changeups, no strikes there. The sweeper, he got a swinging strike on in a key count at one point. And then Oakland helped him out a couple times in some other at-bats. But really, he just did not have it. The two-seamer wasn't effective today. The slider wasn't effective today. It was a day where he went out and tried to pitch without his two best pitches. And really, while he's added some pitches, he's not added them to the point where it's like, I can spend a day just relying on my sweeper and four-seamer. That's not him yet. And so, you know, it was going to be a rough day for him today because those two pitches weren't there.
Yeah, and he almost got killed by one of those line drives. I mean, he was 4 inches from a hospital room, 110 miles per hour off the bat. So it was that inning was rough.
Yeah. So maybe he's leaving today's start just thinking, hey, I'm just glad that, you know, I don't have a crack in my skull because it looked bad. He could have gotten hit pretty bad there. Mike, in a week that was basically a, you know, decent week for the Royals, what was your theme looking back at the week in its entirety?
Okay, I'm going with a Brooklyn Nine-Nine thing for those of you who are Nine-Niners. You know, Jake likes to go, okay. Like that's what I'm thinking when I'm seeing Nick Prado spray balls all over the field and be more aggressive and do those things. And Salvador Perez just amass hits, you know. He looks to be in a little bit better shape, and he's really hitting the ball all over the place and putting them out. And to see Velasquez have that three-hit game and Vinny have a little bit more offensive success, it makes me go, okay, stop giving me hope, Royals. Stop winning games. Stop, you know, playing well at times in certain groups. And so, yeah, but it was good to see. It was a good thing to go out there and then see today, even though they lost. You know, we had that, you know, Blackburn, we really got to him in the second inning, hit the ball really hard. A lot of guys, even Kyle Isbell, who got out a couple times today on really hard hit balls, looked pretty good. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, I think every ball, or at least maybe every ball Isbell put in play today was over 100 miles an hour, and he didn't get a single hit. It was rough for him out there today, but he had great plate appearances. And so that was encouraging to see. Those balls will fall if he keeps having those types of plate appearances. I'm going with the theme of "You Spin Me Right Round, Baby, Right Round." Classic 80s from a hit from Mike. Do you know, remember who did that song?
Culture Club?
No, Culture Club? No, it's not Culture Club. No, it's
not Culture Club.
It's not them. No, I'm not going to look it up, but I'm sure in the comments, somebody tell us who did that song.
Oh, I'm looking that I'm not up. Looking I think up. It's Culture
I know
Club.
It's not him. But I put this down as my theme for this week because kind of feel like I'm spinning around a little bit with like the starters regressing and the hitters taking off. And I'm like, oh, wait, the starters were doing really well early. Now this happens in spring training sometimes, but I'm kind of like in a daze and in a like looking around like, oh, where are we going? What's it going to be tomorrow? You know, tomorrow. And so, you know, I feel a little discombobulated by spring training just because the lineups are starting to solidify and the pitching is starting to like, you know, fell apart a little bit this last week. So I'm hoping to get a little more cohesion with the starters dominating and the hitters dominating. Is that too much to ask for? I don't think so.
Two at one time. By the way, You Spin Me Right Round is, was it Dead or Alive? Never knew that.
I never even knew. By the way, you might hear some background noise. We are in Arizona, and apparently there are many barking dogs and ambulances or something. Police car. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I hear sirens, which is weird because last year we heard like cannon fire or something. Royals Weekly is brought to you by Knapp Family Wealth. Mike, can you think of anything more important than securing your financial future?
Watching my high school football highlights and drinking alone in the dark.
No. Securing your financial future is one of the most important steps someone can take for themselves and their family, and Knapp Family Wealth is ready to help you pursue it. This isn't some big, faceless corporation we're talking about here. Knapp Family Wealth is run by J.C. Knapp. He's a huge baseball fan, and he's been helping people prepare for their financial futures for more than 20 years. He can help with retirement planning so you don't have to work until you're dead, education planning so your kids learn to read good, investment management so you get all that money from out of your mattress and get it working for you. Don't spend another day thinking you've got it all figured out, because trust me, you don't. Check out Knapp Family Wealth at knappfamilywealth.com. That's K-N-A-P-P familywealth.com. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. In today's spotlight segment, we're going to cut through the bull hockey and get right down to it. I love that term, by the way. Evaluating players in spring training is tough because spring training performance often doesn't translate to the regular season. It takes a keen eye and mind to understand what might transition from the Cactus League to the regular season. And despite those two requirements, we're still going to give it a shot and try and figure out what from spring training is real, you know, on our own, you know, and what's fake in a format I'm calling no fakesies backsies. Okay. It's easy.
Brilliant.
I'm going to bring up a spring training phenomenon. I like new fakesies, no fakesies, backsies.
Make the board game now.
Yeah. I'm going to bring up a spring training phenomenon, and we're each going to say whether we think it's real or fake. But we're going to say it by saying fakesies or no fakesies, just to keep it complicated for you guys. Mike, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, sure you are. How many deep are you right now, Mike? Like 6, 7, 8? We're on vacation,
I don't know what
too,
you're talking
folks.
About, man.
Yeah. Mike, fakesies, no fakesies, Cole Reagan being Cy Young caliber.
I'm going no fakesies. The evidence now is plentiful. And had he come in this spring and looked different from the pitcher that we saw at the end of last year in the 12 or whatever starts that he had for the Royals last year, then I might be more skeptical. But we've only seen good Cole Reagans. You know, we've only, since he added the slider and since he, you know, cut back on the cutter and has added this velocity now. I mean, even again this year with, I mean, he's throwing really, really hard. He looks legit. I mean, you heard the left-handed Jacob DeGrom comp or whatever that came out this year or this past week. That's a real deal right there. So I'm taking Cole Reagans. I'm not saying he's going to win it. It's always health dependent. Honestly, there's other factors like how good are the Royals this year that could do that. But it would not surprise me if he stays healthy, if he's not in the Cy Young conversation.
Yeah, I'm going no fakesies as well. And basically for the same reasons that you are, you know, like we've seen him come into spring training and start doing things that really no other pitchers do. You know, there are no other left-handed pitchers who throw 101 with the kind of movement on his fastball that Cole Reagans gets. There are no other pitchers who can basically just throw the ball right down the middle and still get everyone out. Like Cole Reagans is a phenomenon. Cole Reagans is, you know, a talent level that the Royals have not had. And I'm going to go way, way back. A talent level the Royals really haven't had.
901.
I'm thinking maybe, I can't even think, right? Like, I can't even think. Like, you could say Zach Greinke, but honestly, was Zach Greinke's ceiling ever what Reagan's ceiling looks like it might be, right? Like, I don't know that that's the case, right? And so, you know, and at least in terms of peak,
I would say
Greinke did it for a long time at an extremely high level. And so you can't, he's not even in the same conversation with Greinke in terms of his overall greatness, right? But Zach Greinke never threw 101 with 20 inches of induced vertical break, right? Like Zach Greinke never threw some of the pitches that Cole Reagans throws. It's really incredible from the left side, you know, like, and so Cy Young caliber, I'm absolutely buying that. No fakesies there. So I think that's on the money. If he stays healthy, it's always an if he stays healthy. Mike, fakesies, no fakesies. Nelson Velasquez struggling. Right now he's got a 5.11 OPS in spring training.
Yeah, I'm going to go fakesies because we saw him do a little better this week, first off, and that's a good sign. I think he had a walk maybe early in the week or late last week. He had that 3-hit day that you mentioned earlier. You don't do what Nelson Velasquez did last year for the length that he did without having it in there. And I think really the key for him is just that strikeout rate, you know, and right now he's striking out about a quarter of the time. I think he's struck out 5 times in 23 at bats in spring training, which is fine. He can stay that because when he touches the ball with that bat, it's dynamite. The guy can put one out every time he gets it off his shoulder. So Nelson Velasquez, I'm still buying. I'm saying no fakesies here. I think he's going to, or sorry, fakesies because he's not doing well. I think he can do well.
Mike, you're confused.
Sorry, your game's still confusing me.
You're confused by your own game, Mike. That's how, what's going on?
I didn't make up this game. You did.
Yeah, I'm saying fakesies.
That's what happens when I turn over creative direction to you.
Yeah, when you turn it over. That's right. Uh-huh. Nelson Velasquez struggling. I'm calling fakesies on that. I'm a big Velasquez truther, though. Like, I'm, like, deep into the Velasquez rabbit hole. I have taken the red pill on Velasquez being good, right? And so, I think about, you're right, Mike. Like, he's not striking out too much. He's just having some bad batted ball outcomes. Now, one of the concerns with Velasquez coming over from the Cubs was that he didn't hit the ball in the air enough, right? And there's some other concerns with him in terms of how he does against breaking balls and all that sort of thing. But I really think he's just a guy who's finding his timing and it's taking longer than some other guys. That's all it looks like to me. We haven't been able to see him in person since we've been here, but I have a feeling it's just Velasquez still struggling to find his timing. I think he's going to get it eventually, and we're going to see a guy who, like you said, when he makes contact, it's dynamite coming off. And, you know, whenever you can hit the ball as hard as he hits the ball, outcomes tend to be pretty good. Like, there's just no, you don't even have to hit it that much.
Yeah.
They just tend to be pretty good. Mike, fakesies, no fakesies, a guy you just brought up as your strong performer for last week, Nick Prado crushing the ball. He's got a 1.231 OPS so far this spring. Fakesies, no fakesies on his performance.
This was probably the hardest one for me. I went fakesies on this one, on Nick Prado really crushing it. But I'm still optimistic. I don't want that to make you think like, oh, Mike's, you know, but I haven't seen a tracker. It's so different from Cole Reagans in that we've seen Cole Reagans do this at major at the level, you know, the highest level. Nick Prado, we have not. I don't have enough of a track record on Nick Prado when it isn't in Arizona and all that stuff. That being said, I think the approach has legitimately changed. So this was by far the hardest one. I'm going fakesies until I see it for a little while, at least in Omaha, and then hopefully in Major League Baseball. But it's something I reserve the right to flip-flop on like a flip-flopper.
Hey, man, if when you get new evidence, people should change their opinions. I'm going no fakesies here from Nick Prado, and that's just no fakesies on his progression as a hitter. I think that progression is real. I don't think he would ever, like, I don't think that 1231 OPS would transition to the regular season. That's crazy. But I think that we can buy a little bit that progression and say that, okay, he does look more aggressive in two strike counts. He does look like he's capable of getting to the edges of the strike zone better, right? Like, he does look like he's got a little bit better hit tool in that regard. You know, and so I think I'm comfortable saying that that's real. Now, does that mean I think he should start the season in Major League Baseball? Not necessarily. If a spot like opened up or made itself apparent, sure, maybe. But I'd be fine with him going down and proving it for real in AAA and then getting time when a spot opens up or when, you know, someone gets traded or something like that. I'd be fine with that as well. But I am actually buying. I think it's a real, no fakesies on that progression for him as a hitter.
I tell you, him and Nick Lofton are making, they have to be making guys like Garrett Hampson feel like, you know, if I don't start doing something with this bat, stuff could get bad.
Yeah, that's true, especially Nick Lofton. Now, Prado can't play any of the positions that Hampson can play, and so that's, you know,
yeah,
that is what it is. But Prado's got to be making some guys feel nervous because, you know, you don't go out and hit 1,200 as an OPS and guys are feeling real comfortable, you know. Another guy like Prado, who's kind of been the talk of the pitching staff to some degree, Alec Marsh, is dealing right now. Mike, fakesies, no fakesies on Alec Marsh dealing in spring training. He's got a 0.90 whip and a 0.90 ERA right now.
Here's why I'm going fakesies. That's great. And we love friend of the show, Alec Marsh. Like we love Alec Marsh. We want him to do great. But we watched him today and he had great numbers today. But we still saw some of the Alec Marshy things, you know, the get two strikes on a guy, throw a pitch, nope, non-competitive pitch, you know, like we still saw, you know, him walk two guys in an inning. We saw some hard hit balls that went right at guys. Like the one thing we didn't see was we didn't see a home run. We didn't see a lot of deep fly balls or anything like that. So maybe he's going to be able to limit those home runs. I don't know. I like the strikeout numbers. But I'm still not completely convinced on Marsh.
Yeah, I put fakesies too, but only because of the stuff that you said. But I am wondering, the thing that gets me to sort of consider that and to hold up a little bit would be if he has found a way to limit fly balls, right? If he's found a way to limit fly balls, he's going to drop his home run rate drastically, and he's going to be a different pitcher. He would be a good enough pitcher, even with the walks that he gives up that he shouldn't. He would be a very capable major leaguer if he could just limit the home runs, which would be limited if he could just keep the ball on the ground more, right? Like, and so he does have different and better pitches this spring. And so, you know, it would not surprise me if he's found a way to do that to some degree and he's actually good enough to be in Major League Baseball. It would not surprise me if he made the bullpen in some way. None of these things would surprise me. And it wouldn't surprise me if he made us look ridiculous for thinking that this was a fakesies. But at the same time, I can't buy on whole hog when I see him do things like, I mean, literally it happened to three hitters in a row today, I think, where he got ahead, got two strikes on them, and let them back into counts with non-competitive pitches. And so that sort of thing is just going to keep me from taking a step into being a true believer on what Marsh could do in MLB. But he's going to get time this year anyway. Unless he gets hurt, he's going to get time in Major League Baseball, and he'll get a chance to prove us wrong. Final one here, Mike. Michael Wacha, scuffling so far in spring training. He's got a 6.35 ERA and a 1.41 whip. Fakesies or no fakesies on that scuffling?
Fakesies. His stuff still looks fantastic. His, you know, his command, even with the high whip and stuff, his command still doesn't look terrible. Like, he's had a couple more walks than maybe you expect for him, but no, he's doing fine. I'm not worried about him at all yet.
Yeah, I'm going to go same. You trust a guy like Michael Wacha, who's been doing it for as long as he has. you know, it's spring training and he's only thrown like six innings or something like that. And so, yeah, he's going to be fine. The changeup looks great. He's going to be fine. When the calendar turns, he'll be just fine. Royals Weekly is brought to you by Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Phoenix has all of our favorite things, year-round golf, year-round baseball, and Eric Oxer of West USA Realty. Whether you want to buy your dream retirement home or just stay a while and catch spring training, Eric can help you find the perfect house for you. We've known him for 30 years and trust him far more than we even trust each other.
I did once cut Mark's brake line over a dispute related to Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and he knows what he did.
It was my turn to play, and you know it, okay? I don't care if you cut my brakes or not. I don't care if I have brakes. Eric does long-term rentals for the snowbird crowd and home sales and purchases for those who want to stay a while longer. Are you a baseball player or parent who needs a place in the Phoenix area? Eric will find you the perfect spot fast. You want to spend your days shanking golf balls into the great beyond? Eric knows the golf scene like Mike knows Fish's entire catalog.
Some people say they all sound the same. I say, groove often does, brother. Groove often does.
Find Eric
online. I can't
online
name one Fish
Eric.
Song.
Find, you love them all. Find Eric online at ericoxer.com. If you can figure out how to spell his name, that's the key. That's the mystery. It's ericoxer.com. Or just shoot him a text at 480-383-9745. That's 480-383-9745. Even if you're just curious about what he can do for you, he's 100% no pressure, one of the best people we know.
And makes a great wedding officiant, as he did marry me.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Royals have more than a full slate of games lined up this week as they'll square off against the Giants, Rockies, Angels, D-backs, Guardians, Reds, and Cubs. There's a split squad game in there, that's why there's so many. Mike and I will be attending the Giants, Rockies, and D-backs games at least. We may decide to sneak off and go to one more as well. Mike, is there anything you're keeping a close eye on this week?
There's way too many to include. We didn't get to see MJ or Hunter Renfro really do anything in the field. I still want to see those things.
I know.
Literally not a ball like got hit to either of them.
We're talking before the game, like, hey, keep your eye on Renfro, keep your eye on MJ. I want to see the jump. I want to see the angles. They didn't get hit one. They didn't get hit one ball the entire game.
So yeah, still that, but I also added to the list, Angel Zerpa. We're going to see him tomorrow. Okay. We both have stated that we think he's going to make the 26 man probably in the bullpen if Lyles is okay, but maybe in that fifth spot if Lyles isn't okay. So we get to see him tomorrow. I'm excited about that. Michael Massey and the approach. I want to keep seeing those good at bats from him. Like we saw one of those, a great one today. How does that continue to develop? And then my last thing is Hampson's ability to make this team. Does he show anything offensively that says he should be on the team? I know we paid him. I know he's a free agent. I know he didn't. Does he have options? I don't think he doesn't have any options.
No.
So I know we would just have to release him then, but he hasn't shown me a whole lot, to be honest. So I haven't been super impressed with Garrett Hampson so far.
Yeah. And what's weird is, so he obviously hasn't shown anything offensively. And so you kind of hope, well, is he at least doing the real thing they brought him in to do, which is play good defense at multiple positions. Today, he got hit a ball at short that was like 74 miles off an hour off the bat. Wasn't that far away from him and he couldn't come up with it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's what you're brought here to do, and you're giving no offensive value. Ew. Let's just say be a renter for now, Garrett. Let's be a renter right now, Garrett Hampson. you know? Yeah, I'm interested to watch Mikel Garcia, as I don't think he's really – he had a little hot start to spring training, but he's kind of started to get a little over-aggressive and just wane a little bit. I'd like to see a little bit more patient approach to the plate for him. I'm going to be watching, I'll tell you, I'll be watching Singer's next outing with an eagle eye because, you know, he looked so bad today, and I'll be really curious what the velocity looks like in that next one. And then I'll be looking, just paying attention for Lyles' health, because he's going to throw that bullpen on to live hitters on Monday. I'll be interested to see what they say about how that turns out. He might even be back on the mound in the next, you know, 5 or 6 days if that works out. So we'll take a look at that and see what Lyles is up to. Mike, given that there's about 2 weeks left of spring training, where do you expect the team to be in terms of its progression preparing for the season?
That's a tough question. I mean, I kind of expect them to be exactly where they are. I guess I would like to have seen Waka go a little longer in his last start, because he left before 3. Singer had to be pulled in the 2nd today and didn't get out of the 3rd either when they put him back in. So it's a little disappointing that Lyles is down and those two guys probably haven't pitched as many innings as you would like them to. But other than that, I don't even think that's a big deal. Like, I think they're exactly where they need to be progression-wise. I don't think there's a lot to really decide on. It's like the last guy in the bullpen. Honestly, I don't think the 5th starter spot's really up for grabs. So last guy in the bullpen, do you keep a 5th outfielder? Those are really your two questions.
Yeah, I expect the decision makers to have a vision forming for what the opening day roster will look like. So who that last guy in the bullpen is, what they're going to do with the 5th starter, especially if Lyles, it turns out, just can't make it for opening day. Like, they're basically going to have to ramp him back up from the beginning. And so, you know, is he going to be done and ready in time and that sort of thing? And then the 5th outfielder question is always a question. What's going to happen with Drew Waters? Are they going to do something with Nick Prado? Do they think that he's earned a spot? I mean, I think it's a long shot, but maybe there are some questions there. But at this point, I expect the front office people to have an idea forming in their mind of what that opening day roster looks like, but also what that AAA roster looks like and who's the next guy on board. Who's the next guy who is going to come up when somebody struggles or somebody gets hurt? Mike, is there anyone you want to particularly see pick it up over the next week?
Yeah, Nelson Velasquez and Hunter Renfroe. And I think you've kind of maybe seen that start to happen this week. Hunter Renfroe got a hit today and then hit another one pretty hard. So that was it, both against Blackburn. And then they brought in Newcomb, who throws a little harder, and he struck out. Couldn't catch up to the fastball for Newcomb. So that was a little concerning, something we were kind of talking about coming into the season. But I want to see those guys really show what they can do offensively and show maybe that they're going to be a great pairing offensively. That's kind of my big thing offensively. Yes, I want to see Singer start a lot. I want to see Cole Reagans throw, just because it's fun. But I need Singer to pick it up. I need Velasquez and Renfroe to round out the final pieces of this offense to start to make sure it's going to be a top, hopefully 10 offense if it can be.
I'm going to be watching Kyle Isbell pretty closely, not because he needs to pick it up, but because I want him to continue doing what he's doing and have the results match that good process. He's been, like I said, we watched him take at least 2 really good plate appearances today, hit the ball really hard in those plate appearances, and just not be rewarded for it. And so what I worry when guys do that is that they end up getting out of their process, chasing results. I want to see him stay in his process and those results will come, because, you know, if the process is good, if he's getting ahead in counts, he really can hit the ball pretty decently hard, and that will end up working out well for him.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
We'll end this week's episode like we end every episode with our Just About Outside segment, where we talk about something that's interesting to us outside the world of baseball. Mike, we spent a lot of time on the road incommunicado over the last few days. What could you possibly have to talk about? Let us know.
Oh, I got a bone to pick here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm about to go, let me talk to your manager kind of thing on you here. All right. How about this?
You're going to Karen him. You're going to go call Karen on him.
How about this? F you, Pratt, Kansas. All right? Pratt, Kansas. I don't like you anymore. We're not friends anymore because I got pulled over in Pratt, Kansas. Damn it. And was I speeding by 12 miles an hour? Yes, I was. Okay? Yes, I was. But here's why I was. This is a tiny little town, people. Okay? It goes from 65 or 70. I don't remember. This is a highway that goes through this town. 65. And when you enter the town, it changes to 45. So I'm going 42. I'm going under the speed limit. Okay. I get pulled over and the guy goes, oh no, the speed limit here is 30. It changes down to 30 again in a town that's like a mile and a half long. It goes from 65 to 45. Then you got to know to go to 30. And this cop knows this. Oh, he knows it. Okay. All right. Now he was very nice. He let me off with a warning. Thank you, sir, for protecting us, for protecting the town. Good people of Pratt, Kansas. But come on, man. They'll be getting people in the 30. You know, if they're going still 65, I get it. Okay. Throw the book at them. They'll be pulling me over, going 42 under what I think the speed limit should be, what it should be. I mean, come on now. Anyway, that's my
listen to you. That's a very Karen. Just a bit outside there. I really appreciate that.
Change the rules for me. I mean, come on. Don't need to go down to 30 miles an hour anyway. Through Pratt, Kansas. Get out of here.
So one of the things that I always get reminded of when we come to, I say this like we've been down here a bunch of times. This is my second time in Arizona. But one of the things I love down here is you walk around, you go out to the ball game or whatever, and you see some bunch of people wearing enormous hats. And so my just about outside for this week is I love big hats and I cannot lie. Okay. I love them. I love to see people with hats that are so enormous that they will never be touched by the sun. I'm going to get one while I'm down here because I have a little bucket hat that I wear out to the games now to make sure I have a bald spot, like a little Friar Tuck bald spot going on over here.
So I
don't want to get burned, you know, like, and so I want a big straw hat to wear to keep the sun off me. But I love them. I used to think to myself like, oh, big hats. Who would wear those sorts of things? I would wear those sorts of things because I love big hats now. I love big hats and I cannot lie. I'm going to get me one. Mike and I were at the game today, which was at Ho-Ho Cam where the A's play. And Mike forgot his hat. And so he was going to buy one. But it was all A's branded stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm not buying an A's branded hat. We're going to have to wait till we're going to Surprise tomorrow. We'll pick up a Royals branded big ass straw hat. And then I'll be living right. So if you see me walking around with a giant ass straw hat, say hi, tip your hat to me.
Tip your even bigger hat to me.
Yeah, if you have a bigger hat, then I will bow to you. But you know, tip something. When I say big, you can't see me if you're listening, but on YouTube, I'm talking out to here. I'm going to be tipping people to hat like this. Good day, sir. You know, it's going to be wonderful. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Anyway, that's all we have for this week. Come back tomorrow because we're going to put out an episode tomorrow as well. And so, it's going to be an almost everyday affair here, talking about what we see out at camp. Going to get a look at some minor leaguers tomorrow. So, join us again. Until we see you next time, be good to each other.
And go Royals.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.